The Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Pierre Gaudet's astonishment knew no bounds when his friend Lucien de Franchi, for whom he had been waiting, arrived at his apartment and said that he was not going back to Corsica with him. Pierre could hardly believe his ears, as the carriage was waiting and full arrangements had been made to take both Lucien and a special physician to Corsica, there to attend his brother, who was so ill.
Lucien, I must confess I don't understand you. All the time you've been here, you've taken no interest in Paris, and then today you decide to go for a walk, and now...
Now I want to stay.
Well, stay if you feel like it, of course, but you were so anxious to get back to your brother. What's more, time passes, the coach is waiting, and... Well, do you want to stay here in the apartment? Would you prefer that I stayed too?
No, Pierre. I would take it as a great favor if you went. After all, you interviewed this doctor. It was you who was able to arrange everything. The doctor must go to Louis. Louis must get well. I will come back to Corsica as soon as I can.
As soon as you can? Lucien, there's something very strange about this.
Now, please, Pierre, please. Don't ask any more questions. I'll be back soon.
What about your mother? What shall I tell your mother?
Tell her that I find Paris very interesting. Very interesting indeed.
Lucien threw himself full length on his bed, his hands clasped behind his head, his eyes fixed on the ceiling. All night long he lay thus, without closing his eyes, a thoughtful, faraway expression on his face. The next morning, Emilie, who with her husband on the high seas was still staying with her parents, received a visit from Annette. Emilie was brushing her long golden hair as Annette entered the room. Reflected in the mirror, it resembled the tail of a golden horse, with something of its brittleness and vitality. As soon as she saw her cousin's reflection in the mirror, she turned her head and, with one arm outstretched, handed the brush to Annette, the other switching her hair out like a great golden fan.
Just in time.
Well, I never.
Please, you can do it so much better than I can. I've been brushing for a quarter of an hour and my arms are aching.
It's a wonder you didn't have the maids up brushing your hair this morning.
Well, they're much too busy downstairs. Please, Annette, I want my hair to look its best tonight. And when you brush and brush, it shines.
Such lovely hair. I don't think you realize how lucky you are, Emilie.
I don't know whether I am lucky.
Not lucky? With a husband fabulously rich and handsome into the bargain, and everything you want.
I'm not sure that I have everything I want.
Some people are never satisfied. If I only had half of what you have... Oh, my. How your hair crackles.
Brush harder. You said you wanted to look your best tonight. The captain is away. I didn't think you cared how you looked while your husband was away.
Emilie, what's the matter?
Nothing.
You're not looking at all happy this morning.
I am. I'm very happy. There's something on your mind.
Annette, I've got to talk this over with someone.
I had a visitor last night.
Who?
Louis.
Louis Prevost?
Louis de Franchi, as we know him now. He'd gone up the side of the house and right into my boudoir.
Not Louis de Franchi?
Yes.
Why, Emilie... I can hardly believe that he would have done such a thing. A man so quiet, so reserved, so...
I know. I was surprised myself. Annette, Louis has changed.
Really?
Yes.
In what way?
I don't know. I just can't grasp the difference. But there's something about him. Something that wasn't there before. A ruggedness, a strength. It's almost as though he were a new Louis. Oh, don't stop brushing.
Whatever made him do this? Don't tell me. I think I know. He's still in love with you. He knew that you'd refuse to see him, so he climbed up the side of the house.
Oh, how he must love you.
You really think he does?
Well, the night that you eloped, if you'd seen him and talked with him as I did...
But does he love me, does he?
Emilie, don't tell me.
Oh, no, Emilie, no. You're not still in love with Louis.
No, of course I'm not. But, well, Annette, to be frank... There are qualities in Louis which I didn't see before. In fact, I've seen things more clearly.
Don't tell me that you're regretting now that you're married to Captain Chateau Renaud.
Oh, of course not. He's wealthy. He can buy me everything I want. While Louis... Well, Louis is comfortable.
You're still in love with him, aren't you?
No, no, of course I'm not. It's just that I'm disturbed by this difference in him. Whether it's the separation, the time that's passed between us, or whether... Oh, never mind. I'm stupid to talk this way.
Of course you are. You're married now. Your future is settled.
Still, Emily, at the time, I thought you were making a mistake.
Is that why you want to look your best tonight? You're meeting him, aren't you? Answer me.
Yes, I am. What of it? I'm meeting him at 4:30 in the gardens. Just for old time's sake.
While you sit before the mirror, Madame Emilie, your thoughts are most disturbed. Then how are you to know that this subtle difference in Louis is because Louis is really Lucien, his twin brother? Lucien, reared in the ruggedness and fierceness of Corsica. Lucien, who is the kind of man you've never met before, a man whose primitive side is the most predominant. Yet he has the face and features of Louis, who was once betrothed to you, so how can you guess? The day drags by. Time means nothing to you in the ordinary course of events. But from now till 4:30, there is urgency, importance, as something that fills you with impatience. Time is always like this, unheeded when there's nothing to wait for, but psychologically significant when you wait for it to pass. Meanwhile, what of Lucien? Pierre Godet has gone now, and yet Lucien does not explore Paris. He sits in the apartment and also waits for those hours to pass. He knows full well that he has been mistaken for his brother, but what thoughts flit through his mind? What feelings has he relating to his brother and to this beautiful girl over whom his brother broke his heart? At last, the hands of the clock drag round close to the appointed time. Lucien has shaved and bathed and dressed himself with meticulous care. Soon he is in the gardens, walking firmly and surely along a path which passes an ornate fountain, a miniature lake, and finally leads to a circular promenade in the middle of which stands a sundial. This is the appointed place. Time, with dragging footsteps, leads Lucien to the time signified by the sundial. Time and a beautiful girl who stands impatiently, anxiously, as Lucien appears.
You're late.
Yes.
I don't know why I'm here. Really, I don't.
You said you'd meet me.
Yes.
To talk things over.
But there's nothing to talk over, really. I'm married now, Louis.
Then why did you come?
I told you, for old time's sake. After all, when we met, we were together, we were happy.
Of course. Are you happy now, Amelie?
I've never been happier in my life.
I hear that your husband is a very wealthy man.
Yes.
You wouldn't have been wealthy if you'd married me. I suppose you took that into consideration.
No, Louis, I'm sorry for you. Honestly, I am.
Don't be.
Why not?
Do I look as though my heart's broken?
But it is, isn't it?
You're still disappointed, aren't you? Disappointed because I'm not prostrate. I know what I should really do. I should thrash you for what you did to me.
Thrash me? How dare you? How dare you say a thing like that?
You deserve it and you know it.
What's come over you, Louis? To say the things that you've been saying to me, to climb the side of the house and force your way into my boudoir. What's happened to you?
You seem to like it.
I don't know. What's more, I shouldn't have come here to meet you. It was an unpardonable intrusion last night.
Then why did you come here? You couldn't have stayed away.
Why did you?
Why? I think you know why.
Oh, Louis, you still love me, don't you? You are breaking your heart.
Perhaps I am.
If I could only have seen things as I see them now.
Why?
Well, Louis, ever since last night, I haven't been able to get you out of my mind. All the past has come back. You and I together. Moonlight, sane, just like a silver ribbon. Your voice in my ear telling me that you loved me, worshipped me, adored me. The nostalgia overwhelms me, Louis. I can't tell you.
Tell me that you love me now.
I'm married, don't you understand? There's Chateau Renaud.
You married him for his money, didn't you?
Yes. There. Now what do you think of me? I'm incredibly selfish, aren't I? But if you could only understand, Louis, I've always wanted power and the things that money could buy. My father's had to struggle. He's in society, certainly, but he's never had very much money. And my mamma has always made me understand that money and position were the most important things in the world. Oh, Louis, if only you hadn't broken with the Prévosts, things would have been different.
But you would have been marrying me for my money then.
Perhaps so, but I would have loved you too. Because in my heart...
Tell me.
No.
You must.
In my heart, I know that I love you. Now. Oh, Louis. Hold me close just for a moment. Let's think of things as they used to be.
You're even more beautiful than I thought. Emily, give me your lips.
Oh, Louis. Louis, you do love me, don't you? You still love me.
Love you. I love you desperately, Emily. So desperately that something must be done. In some way, somehow, Captain Chateau Renaud must go from your life.
Will Emily discover the truth about Lucien de Franchi? Will she learn that this is not the man to whom she was engaged, but his twin brother? And what of Lucien? What consideration will he have for the brother who lies in Corsica, dying of a broken heart for love of this girl? What thoughts flit through his mind? Make sure you hear the next enthralling episode of The Corsican Brothers.